The latest target in the domestic war on drugs has been the abuse of prescription drugs, but sometimes the efforts to curb that abuse can backfire. About 2 years ago, Purdue Pharma introduced a reformulated abuse deterrent version of OxyContin, an often abused pain medication. They made the pills much more resistant to being cut, broken, chewed, crushed, or dissolved, making it harder to snort, inject, or smoke the drug. Today, the New England Journal of Medicine released research showing that the reformulation was effective at reducing abuse of OxyContin.
But the consequences of that have been significantly worse than any potential benefit gained by reducing the abuse of just the OxyContin.
Megan Ralston is the harm reduction coordinator for the Drug Policy Alliance.
It seems very intuitive that if you make it very difficult for people who are physically dependent on a particular type of substance to continue using their substance without offering them any kind of alternatives or avenues into treatment, that they would do, of course, the logical thing, which is find and begin using the next most similar and affordable drug. So in this case, people who had been dependent on OxyContin, who were no longer able to abuse OxyContin, simply moved to the next available, most affordable drug, which very unfortunately turned out to be heroin.
Does the use of heroin ease the symptoms of withdrawal from OxyContin abuse? Is it a similar opiate? Does it have the same effect?
Yes, they're both opiates. So heroin is an opiate, and OxyContin is a manufactured version of an opiate, and we call OxyContin an opioid because it's a synthetic opiate. So the two drugs are essentially interchangeable. The body wouldn't really know the difference between heroin and OxyContin, particularly for a person who is physically dependent on those drugs. The effect biologically for them is the same. So you're right, people would turn from OxyContin to heroin in some cases to simply avoid the horrible withdrawal involved in trying to detox from Oxy. And in some cases, they just turn to heroin because they need a drug to continue to abuse, and heroin is the next closest substitute. You know, and the other thing that's so problematic about this new research showing this increase in heroin abuse is that with OxyContin, at least you knew what you were getting. It's a product that's manufactured in a controlled environment in an actual manufacturing facility. There are no impurities in OxyContin. You know what you're getting in each and every dose of OxyContin. With heroin, of course, that is a radically different story. Heroin passes through so many hands by the time it reaches the ultimate consumer that you have almost no way of knowing what's in the heroin you're injecting. And people can snort OxyContin, or at least they used to be able to, or they could smoke it. But with heroin, we're very concerned that people may be turning from OxyContin to heroin and potentially injecting heroin because it's so inexpensive to use it that way. And of course, injecting drugs just raises a whole new set of issues.
What, in your opinion, would have been a preferable approach to discouraging OxyContin abuse without incurring the side effect of encouraging heroin abuse?
I think that this would have been such a no-brainer for Purdue. In fact, I'm frankly baffled why Purdue didn't take some very simple steps, which would have been to let communities across the country know far in advance that they are going to be changing the formula, that they anticipate that many people in their community who are currently abusing Oxy will transition to other prescription opioids or will transition to heroin. They could have made funding available to drug treatment facilities across the country that experienced a surge of people seeking opiate treatment after the Oxy switch happened. They certainly could have made methadone more readily available for people who had been dependent on Oxy who now wanted help because it was harder to abuse Oxy now. I really feel as though Purdue could have worked so much more closely with counties and cities across the country to help them prepare far ahead of time to be able to handle what we're now seeing happening, which is people transitioning to street drugs.
What can be done at this point? The formula has been changed. The damage is done. What can Purdue or anyone else do to lessen the impact of this?
You're right. The damage has been done. And what the research in the New England Journal of Medicine shows is that because the new version of OxyContin has already been here for a couple of years, this research is taking a look at what the impact of that switch has been over the past 2 years. The new Oxy is here. The impact has been made. The best thing to do moving forward is to encourage all of the states across the country that are right now passing anti-pill mill legislation or cracking down on doctor shoppers and being very aggressive about trying to control and reduce the access of prescription drugs of abuse in their community, to encourage those states to pause, to put those plans on hold, and to first think through what is going to happen in your community if you make it harder for people to access the drug that they're dependent on without also simultaneously making different treatment modalities immediately available to them. So we would encourage people to stop what they're doing, come up with a contingency plan, fund it, implement it, make alternatives available immediately to drug users in your community, because the real concern is that communities are going to wind up with thriving heroin markets where perhaps they've never even existed before, just because they simply didn't think ahead to anticipate some of the worst consequences.
Megan Ralston is the Harm Reduction Coordinator for the Drug Policy Alliance.